Okay, let's see. I'm logging on to my online class for the morning.
Hello, Dave. I'm Ms. Worthington, your virtual substitute math teacher for the day.
Wait, virtual substitute teacher?
I see you're late for school again today.
Well,
turn your textbook to page 241.
I forgot my book today.
Dave.
Sorry.
You're not doing very well in this class.
Come on, I'm doing okay.
You received a C- on your last test.
Well, that's passing at least.
I think it's time to send you to the principal's office.
What's going on? Am I dreaming? How could there be a principal's office for an online school? Man, boy. I have the worst nightmare sometimes. Hi, it's KNPR State of Nevada. I'm Dave Becker. Haley Ann Hart practices dance for almost 20 hours a week, but she's not worried about getting to school on time. I would imagine she doesn't have nightmares like that either. For Haley Ann Hart, her classroom is as close as her home computer. She will be a senior next fall at the Clark County School District's Nevada Learning Academy. That's an online middle and high school. She and several thousand other Las Vegas students are embracing technology to get their high school diplomas. The online education choice is an option for students who work in the entertainment industry while fulfilling their educational requirements during non-traditional school hours. It also opens up opportunities to students who've been bullied or face other problems in a traditional school environment. Although there is no question online learning is changing the face of education, critics say many of these programs produce poor academic results due to lax parental oversight. Plagiarism and cheating have also troubled some online programs. Well, joining us in the studio to talk about her experience as an online high school student is Haley Ann Hart. She is a student at the Nevada Learning Academy. Haley Ann, welcome to KNPR.
Hi, thank you.
Do you ever think you'd be on the cutting edge of education like this? I mean, you're pursuing a career at the same time that you're studying. What led you to drop out of a traditional high school and enroll in online classes?
Yeah, in seventh grade, I was cast in my first professional musical called Believe in the Magic, and I realized that my rehearsal schedule just wasn't mixing well with my school schedule. I was missing classes, missing homework, staying up extra late, and I decided to go a different route and try out homeschooling, and it ended up definitely working in with my schedule.
So how do the two compare? Do you like online classes better?
I do. I love online classes, especially with Nevada Learning Academy, because it's definitely a mixture. We still have a physical campus where I can come in and talk to my teachers, get help from tutors. We have student council meetings every week. So I still get a taste of what public school would be like, but with the flexibility that I need.
Mm-hmm. So what do you miss from regular school? What have you had to leave behind?
I had to leave behind daily interaction with my peers, but I dance 6 days a week, so I still get that social interaction that I need. And we still have school dances, we have prom, we go to someone else's prom, and it's really not a whole lot that I'm missing out on.
Mm-hmm. Are the interactions regular? I mean, you say you've got their dances and things like that, but mm-hmm. do you go to football games Friday nights, hang out in the cafeteria at lunch? I mean, how regular are those interactions with friends?
Well, we have student council meetings every week, and aside from that, we have regular events on the weekends and during the week as well, so those are regular interactions, but, you know, you don't get the daily cafeteria conversations or the football games.
Mm. So for those of us who are wondering what this experience is like, how are online classes different from face-to-face learning with the teacher up there in front of you in the classroom?
You have to be very motivated. You have to know how to get yourself up in the morning and turn on your computer and really get to work. There's definitely a new sense of determination that comes with online schooling. But if you make schedules and you get help from your peers and family, it can definitely work.
Mm. You've said these online classes give you the time you need to fully understand a subject, mm-hmm. subjects like including science. How does it differ from attending a traditional 50 or 55-minute class?
It's different because I can spend more time on a topic or less time on a topic. If I'm really understanding something, I can move forward, study other things, get ahead in a class. But if I don't understand something, I can spend more time on it and really understand the topic.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're 16, and as you said, you've got dance. Mm-hmm. You work with dance. You're a singer and a student. What's a typical day like this summer? When are you getting up, and how much are you putting into all these things?
Yeah, right now I'm taking a pre-calculus class online with CSN for summer school. And so I get up in the morning, do some math homework, and then I go off to rehearsal for almost 7 hours every day for a concert that I'm preparing for in August with my dance studio for Nadir Conservatory of the Arts.
So when you say you get up in the morning, mm-hmm. how early in the morning?
Well, it kind of depends on every day. Sometimes I'll get up at 7:30. Sometimes I'll get up at noon. Just depends on what's going on that day and how late I stayed up the night before.
Mm-hmm. So if you find yourself struggling on something in pre-calculus, how do you work that out? What's the process by which you get all that untangled?
Mm-hmm. CSN has a dual credit program for high schoolers where I can come into the school and get tutored for math. So if I ever need help with that, I can go into the school and get help from them.
Mm-hmm. Have you availed yourself of that?
Yes, I have.
I remember pre-calculus. I needed a lot of that help.
Yeah, okay. It's not a walk in the park, so I've definitely been taking advantage of the free help.
Now, also with us is Marcia Cope Hart, Haleigh-Ann's mother and a former cast member of Phantom of the Opera in Las Vegas and San Francisco. Marcia, welcome to KNPR.
Good morning. Thank you so much.
Good morning. You're a dancer and singer yourself. I imagine you recognize this routine. When did you decide to change Haleigh-Ann's routine?
Well, as she said, she was part of a wonderful production called Believe in the Magic. It was professional, had a lot of daytime rehearsals, and I felt that the school was wonderful about helping us out because she was such a good student, and they were a little concerned, but things were working out. But I noticed that there was going to be a little time where she wasn't going to be getting the sleep she needed, getting the homework done, and for my schedule as well, it was really important to consider something else. So it was a little scary at first, but we made the choice. The school was very supportive because they wanted the best for her, mm-hmm. and we made the change.
When you say it was scary, what was scary about it?
Well, it is such a different way of life. It's a different way for the student to be learning. It's a different schedule. It was something for us that provided flexibility, but I was a little concerned that we were going to be sure to get that work in. Was she going to be disciplined enough? What was my course of work going to be towards her, helping her out? How much was I going to have to be helping, and what was the demands in general on the family? And we found that it really worked out really well for us in our lifestyle and mm-hmm. our schedule.
When you looked at this option, what did you see as the possible risks? I mean, you said the possibility that there might not be enough self-discipline to get things done, but did you see others too?
Self-discipline, in some ways, whether or not she really was going to get the best education, if she could get the help that she would need specifically on the classes that were the harder ones for her. So
for this option, how much work is there for you? I mean, how much help do you need to offer?
Right. When she was younger and in junior high, when she first started the online courses, it was quite a bit for me. I wanted to keep up. I wanted to be absolutely on top of what she was learning, that she was getting it right. We tried several different programs, too, to see what was best for us. So when she was in junior high and started the program, we had not gone to Nevada Learning Academy, of course, because that was high school. So we started online learning just through a couple of different programs to find what was best for us. And I found that there was a demand on me to specifically work on the things that she needed help on, and it was a little difficult at first.
Mm-hmm. So for parents who are listening, how much of an investment of time and energy is this for you?
When they're younger, obviously much more. You want to be right there to be that teacher, to be that tutor. So you need that time. And I was lucky because I was working at night. I had that time during the day mm-hmm. to help her to oversee things. And I kind of enjoyed getting into the math again myself. That was the one thing I specifically wanted to be sure I was on top of with her. As it started to get a little more difficult towards 9th and 10th grade, I started decided I was going to leave that up to the teachers. Mm-hmm. And I was thrilled with Nevada Learning Academy, which was at that time virtual high school, that they had teachers available any time for her to go to see.
So how many hours did it start out occupying your time roughly? What's it like now?
I would say a good 3-4 hours a day for me to study the material as well as work on it with her. And then sometimes even at night, I'd stay up just to be sure I was learning it and could watch over. But when she started, as I said, getting into high school, it was absolutely fine for me not to take part at all in the studies. She was getting just such great grades, and I knew she would come to me if she had a problem, and we could go into the teachers and get that help.
Well, it sounds like for a household where both parents perhaps work full-time, it would be a little bit of a juggling challenge, at least at first, based on what you're saying.
It certainly would. First, if you're going to have your child at home studying, what are you going to do for care, depending on their age? And, of course, you wouldn't want them really home alone at any point. So that is a challenge. I think at one point we were thinking of having a possible schedule where we could, with other children who were homeschooled, possibly work with them. We had a couple other moms talking about the possibility of maybe sharing through the week the different times we'd have it at their house or our house a couple times a week. And those are all possibilities if you get to know others who also want to go online.
So possibilities, but in the end, that's not what you opted for.
It wasn't what we needed to do. Mm-hmm. I was able to be there. I had the time with my work at night. It was certainly really, really conducive to a great schedule for both of us.
We are talking about Nevada Learning Academy and the idea of going to school online. Are you or is someone in your family taking classes online? Would you like the flexibility to pursue a career while you're in school? Are you one of the 9,000 Clark County School District students who will take summer school online? And what level of satisfaction are you getting from that experience? Or do you think you learn better in a large lecture class where you can also discuss the work with other students and a teacher? We'd like to know about your experience. You've heard about the Hart's experience with this. Call us and tell us about yours. Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. We are also on Twitter. Tweet us anytime at KNPR News or post your comment at knprnews.org. Joining us now on the phone from Springfield, Illinois, is Dr. Vicki Cook. She is director of the Center for Online Learning, Research, and Service at the University of Illinois at Springfield. Vicki Cook, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
While an online education can be a very effective alternative for a mature, self-disciplined student, is it an appropriate learning environment for younger learners?
Well, there have been some studies that have been done since 2008, really. Some additional studies done on middle school, many more done on high school students. The middle school studies are really mixed. Some middle school students think that they actually do better in an online environment because of the social support system that they have at home, or the ability to do some advanced work. And then other online middle school students don't prefer it, and they think they learn better in a classroom setting in a school.
Now, successful face-to-face instruction in classroom, as you're noting, doesn't always translate to successful online instruction. Tell us why not.
Well, the pedagogy involved in teaching online is very different, and it takes a skilled, highly qualified teacher to be able to reach out to middle school students in an online environment, and it's very important that the social connections for those students are in place, whether it's online or face-to-face.
So what happens if you don't have one of those highly qualified instructors?
Well, again, you have to look at the maturity of the child in the class. And so just as when you don't have a highly qualified instructor in the classroom, it's harder for students to learn, and they have to be more self-directed in the process. But many of the schools that are looking to add online education in middle school and high schools are also training their teachers to do that type of education very well. But there are questions that parents should ask, obviously, of the schools as they are learning more about the online components and what's being offered to their students.
So how does a teacher in this process create a supportive online environment?
Well, they look really carefully at developing a community of inquiry. And a community of inquiry is really a situation where the student is connected with the content, obviously. That's what we always want, is the student learning the content. At the same time, those students are connected with other students. So you have the student-to-student interaction, the discussions that you talked about in the lecture halls. Those are all very important and can happen in an online environment as well. And especially for those students who are shy or who have to take a minute to process the material before they jump into a conversation, online can be very helpful for them. And then the third leg of the stool of the community of inquiry is to include the teacher-to-student interaction. And that is equally important. The feedback, the encouragement, the direction, and the guidance from that teacher is critical to a student learning the material and learning it well and feeling like they've had a successful learning experience.
It would seem to me that one of the big challenges for a teacher in this kind of an environment would be trying to gauge cues from students, the body language. Are the students really, really engaged? Are they bored? Are they just kind of indifferent? How do you overcome things like that?
Well, many schools, especially at the middle school level, have a synchronous component as well as the asynchronous components. So they have interaction through video or through other technology use that allows the student or a body of students to interact with the teacher. So there's actually some schools that are using that body language because they're using that during video. Other ways that you can use it, people who have taught online learn very quickly to learn a student's voice. So they can hear in the writing how a student is feeling about a particular thing. It's very important for anyone who's going to teach in an online environment to be connected with technology in ways that they know what works best for different types of students. So students who learn best visually need some kind of visual stimulation in the content areas to be able to really grasp concepts, whether that's videos or whether that's animation, whatever type of visual stimulation. Other students learn best by hearing, and so maybe they need podcasts or they need some type of online lecture that they can access the material to. And others still are kinesthetic, and so those students need some kind of activity where they get up and they move and they do things either through animation on the actual screen, or they're doing something and then bringing a product back to the classroom. So all of those things have to be included in the teaching strategies that are involved.
So can an online education ever be an absolute top-notch educational experience? Education of the best sort?
Absolutely. Online education done well, done with quality, can be a fantastic educational experience and can lead students to being able to study things that they wouldn't be able to study in other venues, especially for rural schools where perhaps they can't offer an assortment of languages. But through consortia, through different collaborations, they're able to bring in language instruction. Some states have been doing online education for high school students very well and for middle school students for a number of years. Probably the best ones have been within the last 5 to 8 years. Many are getting into that today. Some states are requiring high school students to take at least one online class prior to finishing, mostly because it's not just about learning online. Students today are going to have to know how to collaborate in distant situations as they go into the workforce, and beginning to learn online is just one step in getting there and being able to use technology in the future in their employment situation.
Now, also with us today is Michael T. Butler, an assistant principal at Nevada Learning Academy in Las Vegas. Michael, welcome to the program. Let me ask you the same question I just asked Vicki Cook. Can an online education ever be an education of the best sort?
Absolutely can. As she said before, it depends on the teachers and the quality of education that's coming out. As a matter of fact, virtual high school, which we are moving, you know, we're in the last months of being virtual high school before we open as Nevada Learning Academy. We just, for the second year in a row, won bronze medal from U.S. News and World Report for one of the best high schools in the nation.
Now, as you say, we're sort of closing out the era of virtual high school. Virtual high school is merging with the Academy of Individual Study to form Nevada Learning Academy. You're an administrator for Nevada Learning Academy. Why were the schools merged?
We were located in the same building, but we had two different schools going on. We had different numbers, different systems, and in order to offer our students the best of both worlds, made more sense to put them together where the students were in one school, where they had the option of a strictly online semester-based course with virtual high school, which will be our teacher-led program, and with AIS if they needed to take a credit or something that interests them, they could do it through independent study. Our staff, we have a very small staff there, and putting them together just made more sense for our kids. We were better able to service them and give them more options.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the curriculum. What's it like?
The curriculum is based on all the adopted standards that are currently used by Clark County School District. The curriculum is developed and written by our own staff. We supplement it with some online materials, but for the most part, our curriculum is written and placed into the program and into the classes by our staff. And the wonderful thing about that is as you're covering your standards that you're supposed to go through, they are embedded in the course, and you're ensured that the kid's going to hit every standard as they move through.
Hmm. Vicki Cook a few moments ago said that online middle school results have been somewhat mixed. What's your take on why that is? What are the particular challenges in educating middle school students online?
Well, as Haley Ann said earlier, a lot of it's about being self-motivated, and it's a maturity level. As we know, typical middle school, it's a different age. I was in a middle school for 8.5 years before I moved on to high school. It is a different age. Students are maturing at different levels. There are a few students that are mature enough and are self-motivated enough, they can get started right away, but there are others that need help, which is why when we're opening our middle school, we're putting in some components where they will be on campus two times a week, 3 hours at a time, where they will meet with their teachers, get some one-on-one, get some group instruction, do some group activities, where we're providing them the support as they move forward.
Can you imagine a scenario where you would turn a student away? Just conclude that it's just not the right fit?
We do pre-assessments for our students. Just like anything else, and she mentioned the different kinds of learning styles, online learning is basically becoming a different learning style of its own, and it is not for every student. They won't be successful. It can supplement, but doing everything 100% online could be difficult for some students.
Yeah, what kinds of things raise the caution flags for you when you're assessing students?
The number one thing is attendance. With having to come not only on campus, but if the discipline of being at school enough, where they're going every day, and if it's non-health related, where they don't go to school, they stay home a lot, they're missing out on a lot of things, that's a key indicator where a student with someone there and a place to go every day, it really turns, puts the light on it that if they're not going to go someplace, they have to actually physically go every day. Are they going to get on a computer every day on their own? And that is one of the key indicators.
So what about assessing parental engagement at home? Can you do that as well?
We encourage it. We are working on educating our parents about supporting their student. In this case, it's just like any other student. Some can do it on their own and they'll go. Most students need support at home. And it honestly, for those students, if they're online or at a school, if they don't have the support, they're going to struggle. And anywhere you're going, parental involvement, and every study you'll look at will tell you, parental involvement is a key.
Well, and Marcia, just a few moments ago, was talking about needing to be involved with Haley Ann's work, particularly in middle school. Mm-hmm. Can that make the difference?
That can make a difference. Whether they're with us or at a regular brick-and-mortar school, that can make the difference in any child's education.
The Clark County School District is adding an online middle school in the fall, and you expect to have some 150 students in grades 6 to 8. Are these students too young for online schooling?
Not at all. Not at all. We're going with that. We're going with a hybrid blended model, as we said, where the content will be housed online. However, the students will be coming to us a couple of times a week for direct instruction labs. But that this, and I see it with my own daughter, who is in high school. Online learning, digital education, whether it be a formal education or anything else, is the way students are turning to learn. Where you and I would go to the library and look at a book, these kids are pulling out their phones, grabbing their iPads, and they're Googling things. They're going to Wikipedia. They're going to the different sites. They're instant. They are used to the digital. They are used to clicking. And in a way, it is changing the way they learn to the instant information.
We are talking about classes online for students of high school age and now middle school age. And if you have had some experience with this field, what's your experience been like? Is it a good option? Was it one that was just more convenient, or did it not work out so well for you? We'd like to know what you make of all of this. If you've studied online, tell us what you think worked or didn't work in those classes. And do you think, as Michael Butler and Vicky Cook do, that an online education can be an education of the very best sort? If you've had some experience yourself with online classes, tell us what that experience was like. Are you happy with the results? Do you think it could have been better? Was it convenient for you? You can reach us at 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Write to us online at knprnews.org or tweet us at knprnews. Vicky Cook, according to Project Tomorrow, more than 27% of all high school students took at least one class online, up from 14% a few years ago. 21% of middle school students are taking at least one online class. Are we seeing a change in educational values as what was once considered by many unacceptable has become much more mainstream?
Well, definitely. Online learning has become more mainstream and accepted. I don't know that it's a value issue as much as it is that we have learned more about how to use technology well in the classroom. And I think Michael's point about students actually looking at learning very differently than we did even for children 10 years ago, we're really seeing that. And we're seeing students that are adopting a digital learning perspective. And there are a number of studies out about how children as early as 2 and 3 years old, their brains are being wired differently because of their acceptance of technology at a very early age.
So why, in your opinion, is online education growing? Is it cheaper? Is it more convenient? Or does it actually teach better?
Well, it's not cheaper. So there's that piece of it. It is expensive to be able to provide good technology for students. It can be better if there are good administrators, if there are good, highly qualified teachers who are teaching. It can definitely be better. It also depends on the content area. Some content area lends itself extremely well for online learning. Other content area requires hands-on lab to be done. And so there are differences. I think it's hard to put each one in a box. I think it's more important to look at what's the content, who's going to teach it, who is the student, and does that fit in an online environment?
Why do you think parents are more open to their children earning high school or college degrees online?
Well, for several reasons, but number one, a lot of the parents have taken classes online to continue their own professional development, continuing education, lifelong learning. I think Michael also mentioned that people are learning online, both informally and formally. So there's been a big movement in MOOCs over the year, the last 2 years, actually. And MOOCs often have from middle school students to retired people taking the same class. So again, a different type of a challenge.
Now, when you say MOOCs, will you define that for us, those of us?
Certainly. A MOOC is a massive open online course. They are often free. Sometimes there's a small fee. And they're from universities all over the nation. And some from Stanford and Harvard and MIX have been extremely popular and have had thousands of students in a single class.
Our number is 702-258-3552. That's 702-258-3552. Mark joins us from Henderson. Mark, thank you for calling and welcome.
Hello.
Hi.
I take online, or I take virtual high school, and I was noticing that a lot of the content seems unfinished and unedited, because there are lots of questions and whatnot on there that don't have the correct answers, or they have multiple answers and things like that. Mm-hmm. So,
Michael Butler, is there some editing that needs to be done, or is it on an ongoing basis?
It's an ongoing everyday thing. Mm-hmm. Our teachers, as they're teaching the courses, are adjusting the content, the correcting. As information changes, they're replacing it. It's fluid. It's not something that's written in a textbook. It is something that is created, and it changes almost on a daily basis.
Yeah, Mark, is that something that's frustrating to you?
Yeah, because it's because a lot of times I'll get much lower scores on tests and whatnot, and I have to send 30 comments to a teacher about a bunch of different questions that have wrong answers or incomplete answers or things like that.
Mm. Has it gotten better with time, or is it sort of an ongoing problem?
I don't know. I've noticed that it's like every course I've taken online, they all have this problem. So mm-hmm. it seems like something that's ongoing, mm-hmm. at least from my perspective.
Okay. Mark, thank you very much for your call. 702-258-3552. 702-258-3552. Joining us now is Mark from Pahrump. Mark, thanks very much and welcome to the program.
Hi.
Yeah,
I just completed in December an online class for Brownsville program for my OSHA card, and I have problems with computers, but because I don't have one. But now I found it quite satisfying. Mm-hmm. I guess is the word.
Yeah. Was it convenient for you? I mean, once you had to locate a computer,
yeah,
of course.
Once they put me in a special room for the dummies, but once I got, using the mouse and everything, I had no problem. It's I got 90%, so I guess I did okay.
Did pretty well. Mark, thanks very much for calling. 702-258-3552. 702-258-3552. Haley and Hart and Marcia Copart, was there ever a moment where the two of you kind of looked at each other and thought, maybe this wasn't such a great decision?
I would say there was. When we first started in the seventh grade, it was a challenge to begin the program, to learn the system, to be sure that I could get contact with her teacher. She, as I said, it was a different program at that time. It was fully online. We didn't have a teacher that we could go see as we can now. So there was a little bit of problem with the math courses that we were trying to work on together, and I did find a tutor for her, and that helped out. So when we finally found the type of program that we could with VHS, that was really good for us. But I think it can work out beautifully between a student and a parent if they're both very willing to learn the system, be open to each other's problems and negativities, where she might fight with me when I want to do the old-fashioned way and get a textbook in front of her. And you have to remember that children's minds today work, as Michael Butler was saying, instant ability to get that information from the technology, which I did not have.
So, you and me both.
Right.
Hey, Leanne, I mean, is that sometimes one of the difficulties, is that you look and you think, a textbook? Why? I mean, are there some difficulties that you see in pursuing a high school degree online?
Yes, but there are ways to fix them. Like my mom said, you can get a textbook. We have e-textbooks that my teachers provide me with, so that's never really a problem. And there are always things that you can do to help yourself.
Something that was important.
Yeah, Marcia Copart.
She always would have that love of books. The love of the actual physical book to me is very important. And I was sure to take her to the library quite a few times to be sure that she knew that that was also a place to go for reference, and just that wonderful feeling of learning there. And so sometimes we would study in the library to get a different atmosphere, quiet, good energy in a library. So that's the nice thing about online. You can work at Starbucks or your library or wherever you can get that Wi-Fi, and it's sometimes better for the student to be able to work in different atmospheres. Sometimes that classroom atmosphere is not conducive to good learning.
Troy joins us from Henderson. Troy, thanks for calling and welcome.
Well, thanks for having me.
Certainly.
So I can tell you that my family is a virtual learning family. I've used online learning for college credits, in fact, through CSN. And then my son, I've homeschooled him for the past 4 years at Nevada Virtual Academy, which is administered by K-12, and it's been a great thing.
Yeah, very good. We'll talk about that process with your son, working with your son to get the education online.
Yeah, so obviously, your speaker said, it was a shift in the beginning to learn the system. But once we picked it up, one of the great things, I think, is he learned how to do work independently. And for me, I had to be smarter than a 6th, 7th, 8th grader. So it was, I think it was good for both of us.
Mm. I understand your son has got some special needs as well.
Right, he's high-functioning autism.
Mm-hmm.
And by the 4th grade, he just couldn't handle the classroom dynamic, that group bureaucracy that goes on in a elementary school. So I pulled him out and did the homeschooling. And, thanks to homeschooling and some social skills training, I think he's ready now to go to high school. So we've enrolled him in a brick and mortar. So it was a perfect stepping stone for us.
All right, Troy, thank you very much for your call. Michael Butler, would you say that most parents and their kids are ready for the challenges of online learning?
I think if the parent and the student is ready to take it on, I think they're ready. As everybody said, it is a mind shift. It is different. You do have to learn different skills. Sitting in front of a computer doing your work is a lot different than sitting in a classroom with a teacher in front of you. If they're ready to take that on, and the speed bumps and the hiccups that come along the way of anything that you're learning to do new, it can be successful for them.
Mm-hmm. Vicki Cook, same question to you in our last 30 seconds or so. Are most parents and their kids ready for this?
I think that they are beginning to get ready, and I think those parents who are willing to meet the challenge with their child, I think they'll find that they have a very good experience.
Haley-Ann Hart and Marcia Copart, Vicki Cook, Director of the Center for Online Learning, Research and Service at the University of Illinois Springfield, Michael Butler, Assistant Principal with the Nevada Learning Academy. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Continue the conversation. We are online at knprnews.org.